Welcome to Friend of Maryland. My name is Kat Pause, and this is a fat-friendly space. Today on Friend of Maryland, I muse about tattoos. I chat with Margita Christiansen about the book, Lessons from the Fatosphere. And I spotlight a blog from Feminist on having an openly fat relationship. Kath Reed from the Fat Heffalump has recently been posting on her Tumblr pics of the different tattoos that she has. All of Kath's tattoos are beautiful, and most of them are connected to her identity and the activism that she engages in as a fat woman. It got me thinking about the role that tattoos play in self-expression and identity engagement and involvement. Quite a few members of the Fatosphere are active in getting ink. I myself have a tattoo, although it isn't related to the work that I do as a fat activist or my fat identity in general. I got it after I completed my master's degree, and it's the Japanese character for inspire on the back of my neck. I've been thinking a lot, though, about getting future ink, which I know would horrify my parents, so I hope they're not listening. And I was just curious what other members of the Fatosphere have done in terms of getting ink that represents their identity or the work that they do as fat activists. Email into the show, friendofmaryland@aol.com, and next week, I'll share with you what we got. Me is Margita Christiansen, a fat activist and PhD student at the University of California, San Diego. Margita, thank you so much for coming back to Friend of Maryland.
Thank you so much for having me again. This is great.
So today what I thought we would chat about is representations of fat bodies. So I'm sure this is true in the States, but here in New Zealand, there are several programs currently running that are negative representations of fat bodies. So whether it's The Biggest Loser of the U.S., The Biggest Loser of the U.K., Extreme Home Makeover Weight Loss Edition. We also get a delightful, in sarcastic air quote, of course, show from the U.K. called The Big Fat Family Challenge.
Okay.
So we are inundated with these negative, these highly negative representations of fat bodies in mainstream culture. So I was hoping you and I could actually talk about maybe some positive representations of fat bodies.
Wonderful.
If they're out there. I think they're out there. Yeah. I hope they're out there.
They're definitely out there. Sometimes you have to look really hard. Sometimes you have to, like, bypass a lot of bullshit just to get to a little glimmer of hope in a, you know, popular culture artifact or whatever, a TV show or whatever. It's out there, and I'd like to think that it's getting, we're having increasingly fat positive representations. I think that show, Huge, that was out for a while. I don't know if you got it in New Zealand.
We did not, no.
Oh, do you know about it?
I do. That's the one with Nikki Blonsky, right?
Yes. And they are at the fat camp. Yes.
Yeah. Most of what I know about that, to be honest, is from listening to Two Whole Cakes, because they quite often on their podcast would talk about the latest episode. So.
Yes. And sadly, it only was like half a season or something, and then they canceled it. Even then, that show definitely had its problems as far as portrayal of fat characters, but it also had like a million different characters, and they were all super nuanced, and like it was great. Anyway, that's not what I want to talk about.
Okay.
although I do love that show. So I guess what I'd like to talk about isn't so much like a TV show or a movie or anything like that. It's a book that probably most people in the fat activist group have read, but it's still very important to me. It's called Lessons from the Fatosphere, Quit Dieting and Declare a Truce with Your Body. It's by Kate Harding and Marianne Kirby. I know over there it was called something else. I can't remember now what it is, but you can find it by Googling it. It's a wonderful book, and I love it.
Great
book. And Kate Harding and Marianne Kirby are two amazing bloggers and fat activists who put together just this, like, really great fat and body acceptance 101 type book. It's very clear and concise. I read it in one afternoon. And, you know, honestly, I was already in grad school to do fat studies when I read this book, and it still totally changed my life. Like, I was already on the path towards, you know, fat acceptance and body positivity and whatever, and I thought I had kind of been doing a good job for a while, but reading this book really just kind of drove it home for me how important body acceptance really is. And it has some really great tips for getting there if you're not quite there yet. So now when I'm talking to pretty much anybody, if they are even just a little bit interested in what I have to say, I say, you know, you need to buy this book. You need, you know, whether you're fat or thin or somewhere in between, this book is really, really important. And I think will give you a pretty good idea of the kind of work that a lot of us doing fat activism are trying to do.
One of the things that I love about that book so much is how user-friendly it is. And I mean, like you mentioned, it's got concrete tips and tricks for little steps that people can take depending on where they are in their own journey of accepting their own bodies and throwing off the self-loathing that often accompanies having a fat body in our current anti-fat culture. And I do. I appreciate that it's very user-friendly because I'm aware that as an academic, there's actually quite a lot that's been written about fat liberation, fat acceptance, those types of things from a very theoretical or empirical place. And that's not something that's really that accessible to everybody.
Right.
So I like that.
Yeah, I definitely feel like with the fat studies stuff especially, like, you kind of have to already have, like, basic 101 knowledge of the movement and of, you know, what it really means. And I think that this book is actually kind of like that good stepping stone to get people ready to kind of think more critically about bodies and bodily norms and that kind of thing. But you're right, it has some really great, easy to understand tips, especially this my favorite part of the whole book, and one that I loved it because it was definitely very true for me. And part four of the book is called Avoiding Negativity, and it has several chapters in it, including don't hang around with people who say negative things about your body, and don't hang around with people who say negative things about their own body.
Which you would think would be so basic, like, duh.
Yeah,
but at the same time, because it's so normative to hear people talk bad about their own bodies and other people's bodies.
Yeah, you get into a room of, like, teenage girls, for example, and it's like the body negativity talk, like, does not stop. And it's so creepy and gross to me because it's actually a way that we are, as women, are taught to socialize with each other.
Right.
So it's how we bond. We bond over hating our bodies. And, you know, I think another thing that's really driven home for everybody, not just young girls, is, like, this idea that it's natural to judge people.
Right.
And it's natural to put people in different categories and to want to be negatively judging people, I think, is something that we are kind of taught is really normal and natural or whatever. And so, like, I mean, when I was struggling with my own body image, I know that I would be walking down the street and I personally would be having very negative thoughts about other people that I saw. Like, I would see, you know, someone who was fatter than me or differently shaped than me, and I'd be like, well, at least I'm not that fat, or at least I'm not shaped like that, even though I'm fat and ugly and all these other horrible things that I thought about myself. And that kind of thinking is just so poisonous, and it really doesn't, you know, the worst part about that kind of thinking, I think, is that because I knew I was thinking negative thoughts about other people, I was so sure that everybody else around me was thinking negative things about me. And that stopped me from doing a lot of things. It stopped me from being as social as I wanted to be. It stopped me from you know, from just approaching people who I maybe wanted to be friends with or something, because I'm like, what if they don't want to be friends with the fat girl? And almost all of that kind of came from my own, like, really poisonous, like, negative thoughts that I had about my own body and other people's bodies. And I really made an effort to stop thinking negatively about other people. I even at one point started this thing where every single person I passed on the street and noticed, I would purposely think of a positive thing about them. Like, I really like their shoes, or her hair looks really great today, or something like that. And it honestly was so instrumental in my own acceptance of my own body, because I was no longer thinking, when I could see the beauty and positivity in other people's bodies, I could really start to shine that light on myself and start thinking good things about myself. And I would see women who are my size or fatter, and I would be like, God, she's gorgeous, or that outfit is amazing. And then I was like, wait a minute, I can apply that to myself now. So, I mean, I think that is just one of the absolutely most imperative things when it comes to starting to really try to accept yourself, is to stop thinking those negative thoughts and to stop surrounding yourself with other people who are negative. It's just, like I said, it's like really poisonous, and it's so easy to fall back into that trap of being judgmental of other people, and I think just being judgmental in general, like, it's not so great. It's so much better to be, like, open to all sorts of people who are different from you, and to just be, like, kind of just, like, loving, you know, instead of not loving. I think that we're all better off if we are open to others instead of closed off and thinking horrible thoughts about them and that kind of thing.
It's a powerful form of activism to embrace and be positive about your body, and to allow yourself and encourage yourself to embrace and be positive about other people's bodies as well. Because as you said, for many of us, we are taught from a very young age to judge people's bodies and to associate moral and personal and personality characteristics with certain body types.
Yeah.
And simply being aware of the internal narrative you have in your mind and going, wow, it really is negative. I see someone I don't know, or even someone I do at work, and I have a negative thought about their appearance, whether it's passing judgment on what they look like, what they're wearing, their behaviors. Mm-hmm. And then to be aware of the internal self-talk you have about yourself. So
yeah,
it really is powerful to suggest that people be positive and be friendly to both other people's bodies and, of course, their own as well.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not like this easy switch that you just turn on and suddenly you're positive all the time. I think that's really important, actually, for people to know, because I think sometimes people will fall into this trap of, like, having a negative thought about themselves or someone else and then immediately being ashamed because they feel like they're being a bad activist or something, or they're not ready for fat acceptance, or they're not good enough or something. And I think it's actually really important for us to talk about how, you know, even those of us who've been doing this for a really long time, like, we still sometimes suffer from negative thoughts. Like, we still live in this fucked up world that says, like, we are not worthy. And just because we know better now, it doesn't mean that we don't sometimes succumb to those negative thoughts again. But when you've been practicing body positivity for long enough, like, you have the tools necessary to combat those thoughts, to understand where they're coming from and why you're feeling that way, instead of falling back into that spiral of, like, self-loathing and that kind of thing, you know?
Absolutely. And of course, with any, you know, if we think about, okay, I'm 32. So if I consider that for the first 27, 28 years of my life, I was relatively body negative, both about other people and about myself. Although I did experience some ambivalism about my own body because I thought I was pretty awesome. And, you know, other people, of course, would remind me that, no, you weren't because you're fat. But, you know, if I think, okay, you know, for the first 27 years of my life, I was, you know, relatively negative about my body and other people's bodies. So it's probably going to take me another 27 years.
Yeah.
If not longer, before my automatic response is body positive.
Right. Definitely. And even if 9 times out of 10, your automatic response is body positive, you know, there will be every once in a while, just like that really hideous thought. But again, like I said, like, because you've been working on it, it doesn't, like, you know, it doesn't totally ruin your day.
Right.
You can work through it, and you can think critically about why it is that you had that thought, or you're feeling that feeling, or, you know, what have you. So I'm really, really thankful to Fat Acceptance and Body Positive Activism and Lessons from the Fatosphere, especially for, like, really driving that message home to me.
Well, and I think we can kind of end this by just suggesting to those people listening that if they haven't picked up Lessons from the Fatosphere, that it would be an excellent book to purchase.
Yes,
a good investment.
Absolutely. It's a really great investment. I've now lent my copy out to several friends and family members. I'm actually getting ready to put it in a little package to send to a friend up in LA. So
you're very brave to lend out a book that you love. I'm always a bit hesitant to do that.
I know. But I also, you know, my hope is that they'll like it so much that then they'll go out and buy it for themselves.
Yes.
And then if they happen to want to keep it forever and don't give it back to me, I'm okay with that, because I feel like, you know, it's probably they really needed it, and I will go buy another copy.
Excellent. Well, Margita, thank you so much for coming on today and talking to us about this book that made such an impact in your life and many other people's lives as well, I'm sure.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me again.
Okay.
I really, really enjoyed talking about this book.
Bye.
Bye.
In the spotlight today is a blog from Feministe. This blog was published back in August, and it still remains one of my favorite postings of the year. It's entitled Having an Openly Fat Relationship, and it was written by Shoshi. Quote, I'm on the couch with my husband, our roommate sitting on the other couch, drinking beer and talking about whatever. The conversation drifts to women and body image, and our roommate laments the worst question that women can ask their boyfriends. Do I look fat in this? You're screwed either way, he complains. My husband laughs and says he's so happy he doesn't have to deal with that. I give him an intentionally pathetic expression and ask, honey, do I look fat in this? He laughs and says, yep, then grabs my ass for good measure. I smack his hand away in faux horror. We almost fall off the couch, laughing at our roommate's shocked expression. He thinks that my husband will be sleeping on the couch tonight for sure, but there was no such thing. My husband and I have an openly fat relationship. My fatness is not this bizarre, unspoken about characteristic that will cause instant strife when mentioned. My husband is not obligated to pretend that I'm not fat, and if he did, it would annoy the crap out of me. So, we have an openly fat relationship. What do I mean by that? I mean that I acknowledge that I'm a fat woman, and not a fat woman with a thin woman inside waiting to break free. I am fat and will probably always be fat. And Mr. Soshi doesn't sit around hoping that someday I'll lose weight. He acknowledges my fat as part of my sexy, awesome self. Most of the time, it's meaningless. Sometimes it's important, like when I'm on top during sex or when we're carpooling. I almost always sit in front if there's people squishing into the back. As I took the first cautious steps into the fat acceptance pool, come on in, by the way, the water's great. It became more and more important for me to be openly fat. The assumption in the U.S. is if you're fat, you're not okay with your body, which is somewhat understandable, given that even so-called body acceptance advocates often decide to become spokespeople for weight loss and start doing a lot of speaking about how awesome it'll be when they lose weight because fat people are gross and unhealthy and unhappy. Am I right? I'll admit that it kills a small piece of me whenever this happens, though I've mostly gotten used to it. So I started using fat as a self-descriptor. I started arguing with people who protest when I use it as a self-descriptor. I'm still wrestling with how I refer to other fat individuals, since most people won't use fat as a self-descriptor. I'm honest about where I purchase my clothing. I've even spoken about my specific weight a couple of times. This is what 350 or so pounds looks like on a 5'2"-ish person. And so, I've gradually come out of the fat closet. I mean, to a certain extent, fat people are forced into the open. They're not really possible to hide that you're that fat. Except that things still are. People don't know how fat you have to be forced out of straight-sized stores. People don't know how fat you have to be to buy all your clothes online, because not even Lane Bryant fits. People don't know what morbidly obese looks like, and they throw around this term like it's nothing. Oh, I don't mean you. I mean those really fat people. You know, morbidly obese. Head, meat, desk. People don't know what kinds of oppression fat people face. So, if you're fat, I encourage you to dip your toes in. Start talking about your experiences as a fat person. Like so many axes of oppression, all of them perhaps, marginalization is built around dehumanizing us. They chop off our heads so we can serve better as demons and scapegoats. Well, fuck that. I'm a person, and I build openly fat relationships. Unquote. Closing the Show is Aretha Franklin with Think.